With the Buckeyes facing the Badgers tonight for the second time this season, this seemed like the perfect time to bring in an analyst from the Big Ten Network to break things down. Trey Demps from the Big Ten Network is with us to talk about tonight's game, Ohio State versus Wisconsin. Also touch on Malachi Branham, EJ Liddell, and other Buckeyes that have emerged during this season. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a lot of fun basketball talk in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, January 13th in the year 2022. And today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. We are here today with Trey Demps from the Big Ten Network. He also played for the Northwestern Wildcats. We were talking a little bit off-air about his playing days and what it was like playing Ohio State when he was a Wildcat. Trey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself? I'm happy to be on here.
I'm doing well. Ready for this game tonight. Ready to watch some more Ohio State basketball. They had a few games off. It seemed like they were off for a month, but now they're back in full swing, adding games to the schedule. This year's team is fun, but it sounds like there was a time when you played Ohio State that wasn't fun on the court. What are some things that pop off in your mind when you think about playing Ohio State when you were a Wildcat?
Yeah, man. So when I played, you know, Ohio State had dogs on the defensive end, especially at the guard position. You think about, obviously, Aaron Kraft, one of the all-time greats. And then, you know, a lot of people didn't talk about how important Shannon Scott was to those teams. So playing against those two guys, having them guard you, pick you up full court, man, it was a nightmare. The thing, man, that was probably one of the hardest things for me playing was the fact that you guys always had athletic bigs like Amir Williams. I'm struggling to think of the other ones, but man, you guys always had some bigs that would get out on those ball screens. So I was a player who loved to play out of ball screens, pick and roll actions. And so I would never get anything. So I always shot a low percentage, even if I had, you know, decent amount of points. So Ohio State was always a team that I struggled to play against. But yeah, this year's team, man, offensively, they're the real deal.
Yeah, they are the real deal. I was looking at some of your numbers here quickly. The first time you played Ohio State, you had 16 points, shot 6 of 12 from the field. You shot 50% or above 50% when you played them your third year on the team. I think did you redshirt your freshman year?
Yeah, I had a shoulder injury. I had shoulder surgery.
Okay. So you shot 55% in February of 2014, but then you talked about kind of the struggles you had. Your very last year, first game against Ohio State, 7 points, shot 3 of 17 from the field. You played them again about a month later, 14 points, but shot 3 of 13 from the field. I think we're seeing kind of those struggles that they had, those athletic bigs, Aaron Kraft, all those guys there kind of brought some struggles to you while you're on the basketball court.
Nah, no question, man. Like, yeah, that last year especially. I don't think Aaron was there my last year, but
No, probably not.
I'm trying to think. It was, I believe, Shannon Scott, maybe. I forgot who was there my last year, but yeah, I mean, defensively, when I was there, they were always just intact. You know, Thad Mata was a great defensive coach. So they were always a team that I struggled against. But man, those numbers, man, those aren't surprising. If you followed Northwestern basketball, that 3 of 17, 4 of 18, like that wasn't something that was uncommon, man. I'm the all time leader in missed shots at Northwestern history, so that's my claim to fame. Excuse me. So it's not something that was uncommon for me, man. I love to get them up.
I can tell. Sounds like it. All time leader in missed shots. That's something that you can wear proudly. I got my shots up. They didn't always go in, but I was still shooting like I was on the
playground. I need like a trophy or a T-shirt or something, honestly. But
I'm sure they could get something for you real quick. Just make a phone call. You'll get it tomorrow. This year's basketball team, though, Ohio State-wise, you mentioned their offensive firepower and how good they are offensively. What are some things you like when you're watching this team play?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not mention first the emergence of Malachi Branham. I mean, here's a guy who was only in double figures, I believe, like one out of his first 9 or 10 games. And now all of a sudden he's been in double figures every game, obviously starting with that Nebraska game. But that just gives you a threat on the perimeter, right? I think one of the storylines in the Big Ten in general is the fact that there's just not a ton of threats on the perimeter. Obviously, it's a conference that's dominated with, you know, elite big men. But having a guy on the perimeter that can knock down shots, you know, be efficient from the field, create off the bounce a little bit, it opens up everything for a guy like EJ Liddell. So I think that's, I mean, as of late, what has really helped the Buckeyes. And they're a fun team to watch when you have that inside-outside threat. So I've been really impressed with them thus far. I know the Indiana game was a little bit rough. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, a few games ago when they come back against Nebraska, EJ Liddell only shoots 2 of 14 from the field, and you still find a way to win that game. You know, that's really impressive.
That was one thing early in the season I was kind of nervous about, was who was going to step up without Justice Suing on the basketball court. Zed Key had some big games, played very well against Duke, but then he kind of slowed down and he emerged a little bit early on, just couldn't keep that firepower and consistency going. But seeing Branham kind of step up and be that second scorer, that go-to guy that Ohio State can utilize to kind of create and utilize the mid-range and angles so well, that really complements and assists EJ Liddell in him being the leader on the team. Because I think he had a single-digit point game coming just recently. But Branham's like, hey, if you ain't got it, I got you. And that's something that I think Chris Holtmann, even in his absence, is like, if I'm not here, these guys are going to play harder for me. And Branham's a guy we can trust right now to kind of be that second leading scorer for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about Branham, right, I truly believe he watched like a guy like Johnny Davis, right? Okay. Same build, you know, same kind of skill set in terms of, you know, lengthy, athletic, you know, smooth stroke, all that. But the thing that's really that Malachi Branham has really gotten to over these last few games is that mid-range game, right? Just, you know, going down downhill full speed and then getting to that mid-range and shooting over the top of defenders, because, you know, he's playing like the 2 or 3. So he has the size advantage on a lot of the guys that are guarding him. And so he's able to kind of come off those ball screens or, you know, close outs, and then just stop on a dime and be able to knock down that mid-range. And that's kind of what Johnny Davis's bread and butter has been all year too. Because the mid-range game, obviously, like analytically, you know, people don't like it. But if you have a certain build and you have the certain kind of skill set and you're still able to get to that, it's a good shot. It's a great shot for you. I just think it's not great shots for guys like myself who are, you know, 6'3", undersized guard. But for a guy like Malachi Branham, long arms, you know, 6'6", 6'7". I don't know exactly how tall he is, but it's a great shot for him, and he's really found like a bread and butter with that.
This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow, all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end of year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA.
We're here with Trey Demps from the Big Ten Network. Trey, you talk about the mid-range game, and a lot of guys, basketball players, have gone away from that. I know the analytics that some people utilize, they'll say take the three-point shot or go all the way to the hole for the layup. But that 15 to 18 foot jump shot mid-range, even getting into 10 to 12 foot floater, that's gone away.
Do you think we're going to see a re-emergence or an emergence of that once again in basketball, college, going into the pros?
I think it all depends on who you are as a player. I think I don't like when it's such like a standard, like we got to get threes or less, mm-hmm. you know, where it's such an absolute, right? I think that's a big mistake. And I think that, you know, we saw at the NBA level, I know they eventually let Russell Westbrook kind of get to this mid-range more, mm-hmm. but, you know, like when Chris Paul was there, they always wanted him to shoot more threes when he was at the yeah. Rockets. And, you know, the Rockets are big on analytics, which I'm not opposed to it, but I think if you have that skill set and you've proven it, or if you have the athletic features, right, to be able to get to that mid-range and knock it down at a consistent rate, by all means, I think you should shoot it. I think it was more so for, like, the smaller guards, you know, who don't have as much size. They're coming off ball screens. A lot of times teams will play flat, and then, you know, you have a 6'10", 6'11 guy with put his hand up, and you're 6'1", 6'2", coming off that ball screen. I think people were saying, you know what, when you come off that ball screen, just shoot the three instead of going more downhill and shooting that mid-range. So I think that's maybe where it stemmed from a little bit. But a guy like Branham, you know, he has the size, he has the touch, and he's been extremely, extremely efficient with the mid-range. So I expect him, for him, Johnny Davis, you know, even a guy like Keegan Murray, for those guys to kind of have that bread and butter mid-range game.
Is EJ Liddell one of the better players? Excuse me. Is he one of the top three players in the Big Ten you've seen so far this year?
Man,
I had to raise the stakes just a little bit. He's played so well.
Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble on here, man. No, top three? I personally don't think so.
Okay.
And here's why. Because I believe, first of all, it depends on what you're looking for, right? Are you looking for long-term potential talent, like a guy like Jaden Ivey, or are you looking at the right now? I think the right now, the best player in the Big Ten is Kofi Coburn. I just think he's dominant. He, you know, you can't really stop him from getting to what he wants to do. He gets deep position. He can finish with the right and the left. He's improved his free throw shooting. So, to me, that's the best player in college basketball. And then I would put Johnny Davis at two.
Okay.
Just because his star power, he's clutch, he's efficient. You know, he can kill, he can score at all three levels. You know, he's kind of come on as the surprise of the Big Ten. You know, they're going to play the Buckeyes. But at three, for me, I would put Keegan Murray.
I love Jaden Ivey. Interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's a leading scorer in the country. I just love how many easy baskets he gets. He gets easy baskets, and he plays hard. You know, a lot of superstars don't play as hard as Keegan Murray does. So, for me, that's my third best player. I would definitely put EJ Liddell in the top five or six, maybe.
Okay.
I would have him around there. But, I mean, obviously, an unbelievable talent, an unbelievable player, though.
That's respectable. And I went top three on purpose because I think top five would have been a little bit too easy. I wanted to raise the stakes. I've seen people say he's a player of the year candidate and all these high accolades so early in the season. I don't like to go that far that early just yet. I just think there's once we get into like the middle of January, like towards like this part of the month, and then towards the end, I might start to formulate what I think is the player of the year or top in the Big Ten. But I think when they were saying this stuff in December, I'm like, we've played what, five games? You're already saying player of the year. Like, right. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. He's good. He's really good. I've learned to love and learn to appreciate more his use of angles. Talk about use of angles at Branham. EJ Liddell's using angles, and he's using it sometimes at the three-point line, but not shooting threes. He's using them to get down to the block and to seal off his man, get that ball down in the post, or just to shoot that fadeaway jumper or the mid-range, where he's put so many more tools into his bag. He's been so hard to stop this year.
Yeah, and I think you touched on all of it. He's an intelligent player, right? He's a very, very intelligent player. You could tell he's a guy who watches a ton of film, right? Because – like you said, when he catches the ball, he has his go-to moves. He has the moves that he knows he can utilize on a guy like if he has Kofi Coburn on him. Or, you know, when they play Wisconsin and Tyler Wall, you know, where he has the advantage. Against bigger guys, he likes to face up. You know, we saw that in the trying to think who they put, Northwestern game. You know, whoever, if they had a bigger guy on him, because they would put they were putting Elijah Williams on him some, and Elijah Williams had some success early on in the game. But Elijah Williams is a big body dude.
Yeah.
And EJ Liddell was able, you know, he started facing up a little bit more. You know, so I think he's a very, very intelligent player in terms of his just knowing what, when to back you down, when to face you up, when to take you out a little bit, you know, maybe drive you on the closeout from the 3-point line. He's an improved 3-point shooter. So, yeah, I mean, he's a ton of fun to watch just because you could tell he studies the game.
What role do you think Jamari Wheeler's transfer to Ohio State has played with the Ohio State defense this year?
No, he's been everything to this team. I mean, you talk about just his leadership, his presence, right? I mean, I think he's the glue that holds this team together. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, Ohio State fans might get mad. You know, he shoots 1 of 4, you know, has 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And they're like, oh, you know, we need more from our point guard. But it's like, you don't – he does the stuff that doesn't show up on the box score. You know, he disrupts – you know, Alonzo Verge, you know, gets him out of rhythm. You know, he disrupts Boo Booey. You know, he's able to do things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And he's just, he's an incredible leader. You could tell just his court presence and how the guys look to him and, you know, bringing the huddles together. You know, those things are invaluable to a basketball team. You know, I know Chris Holtman has said that he wants Jamari Wheeler to shoot more. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. I think he does need to shoot more and needs to be more aggressive. But I think Buckeye fans need to, you know, be appreciative, because when he leaves, you guys are going to miss him a ton.
He's a great little next guy or next piece after C.J. Walker, because Walker is a different player, not the defensive leader or defensive player that Jamari Wheeler is. But Jamari Wheeler saw a hole at Ohio State, saw a need. Chris Holtman said, hey, we can utilize you right now. Jamari Wheeler said in the offseason he wants to be Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He might be on the right track to get that role, get that award, because defensively, you talk about the things that don't show up on the stat sheet. I think recently it may have been against Northwestern. He had 4 or 5 steals recently, and these aren't just like, oh, I'm getting these in transition. No, like he's assisting, he's doubling down, getting quick hands that way, or trying to get somebody in the corner on once they get across half court. He's very, very intelligent. His intelligence, I think, has raised a level of defense for the team at Ohio State throughout portions of the season.
And he does it at crucial moments, too.
Yes.
Like the moments where Ohio State needs a stop, he comes up with a steal, comes up with a rebound. Like, he'll be quiet, you know, because, you know, Branham's doing his thing. Liddell's doing his thing. Justin Arns is knocking down shots. But then at that crucial moment, you know, where there's 5 or 6 minutes left, you know, you need a stop. You know, he's going to lock down Boo Boo. He's going to lock down Alonzo Verge. He's going to lock down, you know, whoever, Chucky Hepburn, you know, maybe even Johnny Dave. You know, he'll do whatever it takes to win, you know, at the crucial moment. So, I mean, those guys are invaluable, man. Like, those, that's what it takes to make a run in March, to have those kind of leaders on your team in the single elimination tournament.
Hey, Buckeye fans, this is Jay Stevens with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code SCORE, that's S-C-O-R-E, to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card, or Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E.
BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
We're here with Trey Demps from the Big Ten Network talking Ohio State basketball, transitioning into the Wisconsin game, which is played tonight. Wisconsin, the last time they played, there was a double-digit 15-plus loss that they suffered to Ohio State that wasn't Columbus. Johnny Davis was, man, doing what at times whatever he wanted to, but once he kind of slowed down, Wisconsin didn't really have another answer to keep up with the firepower that Ohio State had in that game. But you mentioned something about Malachi Branham, comparing him to Johnny Davis. And I remember in this game, Branham started, and Chris Holtmann said, okay, you're going to go up against their best player. You're going to guard him. I don't care if you're a freshman. You're going to guard him. And Branham got torched at the beginning. Like, you're a true freshman going up against a guy that's one of the best players in the conference. But I do think, as you mentioned, their playing style, I think Branham kind of learned a little bit from that game and said, I could put some of his tools into my bag as a freshman, and it's part of the reason why he had 35 points earlier. I wonder how that matchup, if they're matched up tonight, I wonder how those two battle it out on the court. Because they're really good players. One's more experienced, but those two guys together battling it out, that'll be a fun matchup to watch.
No, absolutely, man. And yeah, that was a strange game because, you know, coming into that game, that was Branham is a great defender and he's going up against how's Johnny Davis going to do against a great defender? Even though Branham is young.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, man, Johnny Davis torched him. And if you remember, who did they put on him? They had to put Michi Johnson on him. Michi Johnson actually did a really good job
on
Johnny Davis. Now, I thought that changed the course of the game.
Yes.
But, yeah, man, anytime, like, you get torched like that, especially as a young player, like, when I played, you know, I went up. Like, a guy who used to torch me, I don't know if Big Ten fans, but was the guy like Roy Devin Marble. Okay. Like, I was a younger player. He was a little bit bigger than me, kind of like this matchup a little bit. He used to just torch me, man. He used to take me to the block and just have his way, you know what I mean? And so, but as a competitor, as a player, man, you're itching for that next opportunity, man. And I know Branham is. And now that he's got his confidence, he's knocking down shots, I expect this to be a big-time matchup, man, because Branham competes, you know what I mean? You could tell he's not going to shock from the moment. It'll be interesting to see if he could break Johnny Davis's 15-point plus streak tonight this game. So, yeah, I think he will. I think he might. You know what I mean? I'm going to call it right here on the show. I think Johnny Davis is going to score less than 15 points, maybe 14. But I think that Malachi Branham is going to do a really good job on him, make him be high volume, and lead Ohio State to the win.
To the win. I'm curious as you say that because I was going to get to that later on.
Oh, my bad.
No. We can jump the gun a little bit. It's okay. We'll just roll right through with whatever comes through. You're saying the win. Why do you think Ohio State beats Wisconsin when Wisconsin is at home?
I think because I didn't necessarily like the way Wisconsin finished that game out against Maryland. I thought, you know, because one of the things about Wisconsin, man, is like offensively, like when you look at the statistics, they're one of the worst teams in all of college basketball. Right. They're the last in field goal percentage in the Big Ten, last in effective field goal. Like, if you look at all the statistics, they're like last in everything. And the way that Ohio State is playing offensively right now, I think Ohio State has to improve defensively a little bit. I think over two of the last three games, they've given up like 83 points a game. So they got to improve. But I just really struggle, or I really think that because of the way Wisconsin struggled in that Maryland game, I think it's going to carry over to Ohio State. Because that's what happens a lot of times. If you kind of have those bad habits in the second half of a game, it's going to carry over to that next game, especially if you find a way to win it. Because then it's like you think, oh, you know, well, we still won. A W is a W. But I think in this game, I think Ohio State is gonna have success. And I think Wisconsin might have a little bit of a hard time scoring the ball.
Yeah, that is true. I know Ohio State has a little issue at times with self-imposed turnovers. They have them at home. If you have them at home, a lot of times those things travel with you on the road, and they're more exposed on the road in road environments. That's one thing that I think makes me a little nervous about this game. I don't think we'll see a performance like we saw against Indiana. Indiana's defense is not the normal defense you're going to see. Mike Woodson is translating all of his NBA knowledge to these college kids. And these guys are playing, I think, the best brand of basketball they have played at Indiana since a lot of these guys have been there. They're a lot of fun to watch. But I think those self-imposed turnovers always make me nervous because you never know what Ohio State's going to do if they're going to keep having these self-imposed turnovers. When you have a guy like Davis and then Davison at Wisconsin, either one of those guys could torch you or get hot at any given moment and really hurt you because you're hurting yourself. Do you think those self-imposed turnovers are something that we'll see tonight in this game?
Yeah, it's something to definitely look for. I think it's bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why, because you look at who has a lot of turnovers this year, it's EJ Liddell.
Yes.
I don't know if he's still averaging around 3. That's high for a big. And I think one of the themes of this Ohio State team is a lot of times they're overly reliant on throwing the ball into the post, right? And playing through the post. And a lot of times your offense gets stagnant. So you're swinging around, you're looking, oh, nothing there, swinging to another guard, looking. And so then eventually a guard has to come and kind of penetrate out of the blue, you know, where it's not expected. And the help side is already set in the half court setting. And so then you get a turnover like that. So I think that's something like big picture I think you have to look at. I think even though Branham has come on as of late, I think they still have to get a little bit more from their guards, from guys like Arns, Michi Johnson, you know, Jamari Wheeler on the offensive end, because that's going to be the key, right, is that their offense not be so predictable where they're trying to throw it in and then kind of get those turnovers, or EJ Liddell gets the turnover.
Last question for you. Little thought here, as you're a former player, I'm sure you've had those moments where you've had cold streaks where it seems like your jump shot or the bucket is, you know, the ball is not going into the basket as frequently as you're used to. Justin Arns is in the middle of one of those cold streaks right now. Will this be the night that he breaks through and just gets hot and he just hits 3 or 4 or 5 threes in a row?
I'm going to say no, and here's why. Because Wisconsin has unbelievable. Outside of Indiana, I think Wisconsin's man-to-man on-ball defense is the best outside of Indiana, mm-hmm. right? Because as you said, Indiana's defense is on a whole nother level. But I think when you look at how Justin Arns gets shots, he gets shots from guys getting in the lane, getting past their men, and kicking it out. And then Justin Arns will get the open three. But this Wisconsin defense is so sound with one-on-one defense – mm-hmm. that it's going to be hard for him to get open looks. I think he'll knock down maybe a couple. I don't think it's the night that he gets hot. I think a night for him to get hot is, you know, I thought Northwestern, he got some really good looks that he just missed. But it's like teams like that where you're going to constantly kind of have those advantages, you know what I mean? Or like a Nebraska or, you know, a team that's just not as good defensively. I just think Wisconsin's a little bit too good defensively. I think that, you know, and Wisconsin doesn't double on the post either defensively. They play one-on-one. They let Stephen Crow and Tyler Wall guard one-on-one. So that's another way that Justin Arns gets a ton of open looks. So I think that's going to be something to look for because EJ Liddell, you know, punked them as well in that game, especially Tyler Wall. So that's going to be a matchup to look at, see how EJ Liddell goes, you know, if he can do it again, you know, with Wisconsin playing one-on-one defense in the post.
Trey, man, this has been a lot of fun. We got to have you back on the show down the road. If you could let people know where they can catch you on Twitter in case they want to follow along as you're watching Big Ten basketball.
Yes, sir. Yep, Trey Demps 14. You can catch me Big Ten Network. I'm on there a lot Thursdays and Fridays, some Saturdays. So if you want to catch me on there as well, I'll be on the network.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. We'll be locked in for the game against Wisconsin. I'm excited about it. I'm sure Trey will be locked in watching Big Ten basketball. And it's going to be a good game. Will Brandon go off? Will Justin Arns get a stroke back? Will EJ Liddell have another career day? We'll have to wait and see what happens when the Buckeyes face the Badgers in a big-time matchup.